You're listening to Fakeologist Audio Chat. This is a new and exciting way to communicate with fellow fakeologists from all over the world. Each day we compress and post the day's audio into a file that can be big or small. Discover new voices and ideas that talk about media fakery like you never did before. Please search for Fakeologist Audio Chat and Fakeologist Main Show on your favorite podcast app. To connect to our always on and always streaming audio chat, go to fakeologist.com/audio chat. To listen to the live stream, go to fake11.com/radio2. Now, on with the audio chat.
Our program to bring you this important message.
I'm Rollo. You're listening to Fakeologist.com.
I'm not. quiet night tonight. Well, especially on this night, which is Earth Day, friends, 4/22/23. What do you make of all of this sort of stuff? You have to come to Flat Earth, first of all. A break on the way.
Jeff saying, dude.
Laura Mars.
The Phoenician.
All your fuckers.
Trust me.
Tom Gappa.
Poi Poloi.
You are listening to Fakeologist Radio at fakeologist.com.
Yeah. What do you make of all of this stuff, friends? I was just saying, it's 4/22/23, Earth Day. Pretty significant to me in a sense, when I come to consider what Earth might be, as opposed to what it definitely is not. In a sense, this is what it's all about, isn't it? The context for thinking, and sort of development on the context that you sort of choose. And the song I sang there, maybe purposefully, maybe not, maybe incidentally, maybe coincidentally, but if you believe in putting man on the moon, we're all fakeologists, for God's sake. REM were talking about faking the moon landings back then. What are we supposed to think of ourselves, mavericks, for being fakeologists? Get the fuck out of here. What's wrong with you? I was just made more overt. And actually, anyone, if anyone liked that song, I suggest if you're a flat earther and beyond, listen to it again, because it's a song about fakery. And the obvious fakery is the moon landing fakery. But what else is mentioned in the song itself, which leads or encourages sort of fakery consideration? Newton is mentioned in there. Moses mentioned, Charles Darwin is mentioned, Fred Blassie, Andy Kaufman, for God's sake is mentioned. Hello, someone entered. Hello, how are you doing?
I'm well, Pete, you?
Tim, are you doing bad?
I'm good. How's Piché today, man? How's it going?
Yeah, not bad. This is a Earth Day, Tim. 4/22/23, Earth Day, well, bud.
Of course it is. Happy Earth Day and all that crap.
Well, I mean, we didn't declare this. I mean, someone else declared it, but here's a greater connection. Flat Earth and beyond. You know, what is Earth? We know what the ballers say Earth is. We know what Simon Jack says what Earth is. We know what flat earthers say what Earth sort of is and isn't. So what does it mean to the listener to recognize this day as Earth Day? There's a greater question, I think. Definitely a greater question.
Yeah.
You only live on one Earth. Right, Tim? There's only one truth, ultimately. And actually, I sang the song Man on the Moon, right? And I was just pointing out, great song to sing, considering, because they were pointing out an obvious fake, which was the moon landings. And that was way back then in the 90s, right? So I was pointing out that if you appreciated the song and you hadn't listened to the lyrics, there was much greater fakery associated with the song. They mentioned Newton, Isaac Newton. They mentioned Charles Darwin, evolutionary fake. Newton, the physics fake, right? Charles Darwin, the evolutionary fake. And Andy Kaufman, faking his death. Go and look up, if you're not sure of Andy Kaufman, go and look up Andy Kaufman / Elvis and see the impression he does of Elvis. But otherwise, sorry, Tim, there's a greater story attached to all of this. But ultimately, what the mind of the listener determines what Earth is. And that's a different matter. That's a different matter, isn't it? And that's what sort of separates us all. Maybe unites us all at the end of the day, Tim, because it's only one fucking thing. Sorry to, you know what I'm saying?
I do. I just got to step out for 2 seconds here and do something, and then I'll pop right back in. I'm just going to mute.
Yeah.
Thank you very much.
So, as we wait for Tim to come back in, maybe we get a good conversation going. Wait, if it occurs, if not, it's okay as well. Earth Day today, friends, this is what I wanted to talk about. I actually call this Dodo's Day, would you believe? Dodo's Day, in a sense, I'm a flat earther. I'm definitely a flat earther, away from a ball earther, and I can justify it as well. I can pretty much convince anyone about the order, the true order of things, because I've been in this arena for so long, and been thinking about it for so long as well. I sort of come to work out what's happening to a greater or lesser degree. That's what I would put about it. So Earth Day today, yes, in order to appreciate what that might mean, you have to be a stationary and then a flat earth surfacer as a beginning point of view. You have to land there. Whatever else is beyond that, that's your fundamental starting point. What earth is, what's above us, what's below us, these are equally important, but your direction and your decision will be built on a primary sort of foundation, which is you're on the surface, it doesn't move, and by our greater knowledge of water is flat to a greater degree or lesser degree over the greater expanse. Yeah, there's no escaping that. So once you land there, then we can come to terms with the greater story probably above and below. But if you don't land there, well then, yeah, there's problems. There's real big problems. And, as I said, it's not too difficult to land there. The likes of REM were telling us in 30 years ago, I can go back much further, the Beatles were a flat earth band. Little clues slipped in here and there, telling you you're on a stationary and a flat earth surface. And what earth is then has to be viewed in a differing entirety. The blue marble is given to us. So what is, as that picture is erased as a literal truth, what remains, what presents itself to your mind or your world's imagination. Yeah. We wonder why we do this after all these years, friends. I think it's just more for me anyway. It's an outlet to talk. Don't pretend there's any significance in any individual's words at any particular moment. Why should there be or why would there be? Unless this life, this existence was about something different. And I think that's more and more what we're coming to find. The greater game of life, potentially. Imagine you were the one player finding your way through. Well then, you look at everything, all experiences, all amalgamations of thoughts, as they are directed in a different manner. We're given the contrast, we're given the boundary of nothingness from the heliocentric blue marble spinning ball earth, heliocentric galactic big bang beyond. There are limitations set out in solid stone, if you want, by the mind of man. But we come to recognize the lie. We're all fakeologists. So what is the truth? Well, the further you can stretch your mind into the lie, then the more closer
you can be to the
truth. Nice one, Tim. Nice one, bud. Nice.
Thanks. One. I was just trying to catch up on some of your other audios. You've done so many, Peter.
Are you talking about my own channel?
No, I don't listen to your channel.
Oh, I meant what over here. About here. Oh, here.
Yeah, okay, here.
I've done a few.
Yeah, okay. Molly really loved your stuff.
I don't know who that is, but that's cool. That's cool.
That's, she's a big fan of yours.
Nice one. I got a few compliments Molly. Here and there. Okay.
Yeah, it's good to get a compliment here and there, huh?
Well, you know, I'm just as I talk, you know, you told me yourself that if I was to join, your place isn't too busy here, Tim. It seems to me it should be a whole lot busier, but you told me
I know, it's not busy. That's funny.
Yeah, but generally it's not busy. This should be one of the busiest Discords in the arena itself.
I agree.
But you told me when to join. As I always do, I try to encourage conversation, and maybe someone will
join.
Yeah,
you're good at it. You got to get to the gap.
Well, then I'm just going to talk, and I can talk for hours and end, man. I can talk for fucking hours and end. You know, so that's the way I look at it. I don't know who I'm talking to. I don't know what or where anyone is coming from. So I'll just say what I have to say. When someone interacting, well, the conversation becomes emergent, and we'll see where that goes then, right? Hey, but Tim, it is Earth Day today. Earth Day today, and...
says who?
Listen. Tim Osman. I know you know Tim and love Tim Osman. Or I don't say you love him, but I know you know Tim Osman. You've talked to him before. Metascripturally.
Oh, yeah. Good guy.
Metascripturally wise. There
I
is
listen to most of his audios.
Today. Yeah. He's brilliant.
Do you listen to all his audios too?
Yes, of course I do. I'm a member of his Discord. I saw you over there. But yes.
Oh,
I
that's right.
It's so hard to find, though. He's getting banned left, right, and center. But Tim is a great man, a great mind. And this is why I mentioned him. He talks in terms of a metascript. Absolutely on board that. I am. Because there's a greater story here. Our existence is something differing to what we held it to be. You know what I mean? As we were guided by, I guess, officialdom. You know, that mainstream... sort of deliverance. All come away from that. That's why I stressed about fakeologists, Tim. Fakeologists. That's what I said about the song R.E.M. Man on the Moon. If you believe they put a man on the moon and they've nothing up their sleeve, then nothing is cool. They were telling us how obvious was that back in the 90s, 30 years ago. You know what I mean? So what else is contained? What else are they saying to us within the song? Well, 50? Well, it's not 50. Is it 50? It's not 50.
The song was 30 years ago. Is that what you're saying? The song?
Yeah, throw
the man on the moon was 68.
Yeah. Oh yeah, yeah. Oh, okay. But I'm saying. Well, they actually told us in a different sentence. Capricorn 1, visually wise, that they could have on the television screen or the movie screen that they could have faked it. So that was more in your face, but to a lesser audience. You know what I mean? REM when they came along with their Man on the Moon song. Well, yes. Because that's so overt in their song's message, what else is contained within their greater lyrics in terms of fakery or maybe pointing towards fakery? Well, so much more from Newton himself, Isaac Newton, I hold the man never existed, the backbone of physics and physical development, if you want, or understanding of the physical, natural world, to what do you call him? Charles Darwin. The founder of evolution, in a sense, evolutionary theory, natural selection. Another faker, another insider, Tim, if we're to go by the story, married one of the Wedgwoods, the richest people or families in history. Isn't it funny how all of these greater developments...
it's all the elite. It's all the rich.
Exactly. So that's mentioned in the song, Man on the Moon, and also Moses is mentioned. Moses went walking with a staff of wood. Also, more importantly, appropriate to our present age, Andy Kaufman, what interesting character in the sense, and the movie Man on the Moon, played by Jim Carrey, which connects us to the Truman Show as well. Based on Andy Kaufman's life, who he actually said he was going to fake his death. And Andy Kaufman, in a wrestling match, it's just, the whole song is just about fakery from top to bottom. All of it. And we've just sort of become focused and honed in on the one thing, in a sense, if we're conspiracy-minded. Well, look at R.E.M.'s clue there. Or look at Space may be the final frontier, but it's made in a Hollywood basement. You know the way flat earthers go to that? They're letting us know that NASA, this is too obvious for us, Tim. It's too obvious, you know what I mean? So we got to delve or look beneath the surface. And what else has been said? How many different layers... is contained within all of this. That's my my point of view, and especially today on Earth Day. So who said it? Doesn't matter. It doesn't matter. It's just, like, who said that Christmas time was December 25th? It doesn't matter. It's representative of something. And in our daily lives, we can see that it's representative of the winter solstice. You know what I mean? So it has significance. It doesn't matter where the story is coming from, but the story itself, telling us a core... something core at its core significant to our own being and our own time. That's the way I look at it. Do you think there's very any? Good. Do you think there's any significant thing? Never.
Say that again. You broke
are
off.
All endeavors meaningful. Are all?
Say it again. You broke off.
Yeah, okay. Do you think there's a significance to everything or a significance to nothing? Are all our endeavors in vain or are they all leading somewhere, potentially fruitful to the extreme? What do you think?
I've never thought about it too much. That's a very big question.
One thing about flat earthers, right? And I know you haven't been involved in the same...
True earthers. They call themselves true.
Mind that bullshit. They mind that fucking nonsense. They mind that bullshit.
You don't like that?
I'll tell you something for nothing, Tim. There's so many bullshitters in fucking flat earth. There's more bullshitters in flat earth than there is on the globe earth side. And I fucking true earthers. Well, okay, expand. I asked a true earther, well, can you expand, please? And when he was forced to expand then, the true earther became a flat earther. In other words, well, yeah, never experienced the earth's surface to move, fair enough. Never experienced water to bend, fair enough. I appreciate that there's a greater expanse, fair enough. Well, what does that entail then? So a stationary earth or a extended horizontal expanse, you're a fucking flat earther. The term is loosely applied only in the sense that it opposes the spinning ball earth, right? So you're a spinning ball earth or you're a stationary flat earth surfacer. Whatever the earth is not said. So true earther, what the fuck, man? That's nonsense. It's nonsense, but it's I understand the sort of limitation.
Did you see any issue with the whole Bob Nodell story? Did you take that for what it was worth?
To be honest with you, I haven't looked any deeper into it, and I just took it and I expressed respect for Bob taking it that he did die. If he didn't die, it doesn't even matter. It doesn't matter. He's a great man and he's contributed so much to the flat earth. It will come out whether he does or not, but I've just sort of moved beyond it at this stage.
So yeah, he was a very friendly guy. I didn't really follow the Globebuster.
He was an actor, Tim. He was definitely an actor. He's part of the potato crew. There's no doubt about it. So that he could fake his death, I have no problem. He went along with the Rob Skiba fake death. I have no problem. And Tony Subrats, another flattered character, died of irony. I have no problem with that. So, but when I hear the news, I'm just going to, as opposed to rush into disrespect, I'm just going to respect it and take it at face value and then appreciate what Bob has had to offer. And he has had the very most to offer. But in terms of sort of public recognition, imagine the truth about flat earth or true earth comes out and the globe earth is busted. And people will look back as the people of humanity wake up. They'll look back for heroes. And who will they look to? They'll see Patricia Steer as Miss Flat Earth. They'll see Mark Sargent as Mr. Flat Earth. Much greater, exponentially greater than Einstein or Newton or Stephen Hawking. It's also hilarious in a sense. But yeah, these are all caricatures. Bob Nodell now will be the Globebuster. Dave Weiss, I can name all the names. Nathan Oakley, Quantum Eraser. They'd all be historical heroes. I'm talking at a level unappreciated to this point because the greater globe lie will have been exposed. And all of us truthers, no matter what side you've sort of fall down on, we all agree that the lie is fundamentally the spinning ball Earth is given, the heliocentric, the greater galactic and Big Bang.
After the break, Pete. After the break. One moment. I'm on the action.
listening to another hour of Fakeologist Radio on Fakeologist.com.
Shout out to Molly.
Nice. Yeah, Saturday, April 2, 2023. Pete, I've got about 30 minutes left. I have to do some stuff, but just wanted to give you a heads up. You have 30 minutes to have a nice finish off the chat there.
No worries. I think we should make our words count then. You asked me about Bob Nodell. It's funny, Tim, when you look into Bob and how he entered this, he's almost, all of these characters are perfectly qualified for what they go on to sort of present to the greater masses in terms of these core truths. Bob worked as an electrical engineer at Denver Airport. So he was catering for immediately the conspiratorial people, you know what I mean? Denver Airport and all their peculiar murals, the whole conspiracy story attached to it itself. So they're all perfectly qualified. And I'm thinking that character on the stage will have an entry point, will have a script and a character attached to it, and it'll also have an exit point. Once again, it doesn't matter to me whether he exited stage left or not. Just due respect for the truth that he did deliver in its restricted form. I've always said about Bob, and I've been banned from Glowbusters, but he went and did the impossible, Tim. And this is
why'd you get banned?
I told you. If you're not in the YouTube Flat Earth Arena, you won't understand any of this. But they're different cliques and groups. And if you go against the grain, well, then you're upsetting the apple cart and you're soon to be rejected. But I was going to say. Oh, yeah.
Sorry about
that. Well, a fakeologist. He only went and did the impossible, Tim. You only went and did the fucking impossible. You interviewed Mark Sargent, first interview, right, for Mark Sargent, Mr. Flatterer,
yeah.
World famous man. You also interviewed David Weiss, who was mostly a fakeologist, but he had some qualms about, he knew people in the Twin Towers, etc. I remember at the time all of us coming sort of collectively to appreciate that he was some sort of an actor. But Bob, from Glowbusters, associated with Mark Sargent, David Weiss, Patricia Steer, they're the Glowbuster Flat Earth and Other Hot Potatoes crew. But he only went and did the impossible. From understanding that 9/11 was a hoax via September Clues to back to the Judy Wood camp. Now, that's an impossibility. It's a fucking impossibility. And who else then was a big promoter of the Judy Wood conclusion, I guess, not conclusion, but you know what I mean, aside from 9/11, well, David Weiss was this other...
Oh, was he? Okay, yeah, yes, that's right.
Yes, he was a big promoter and seller of the Where Did the Towers Go? Now, let me just tell you something. I'm not saying that there's a deeper story involved here, but on the surface of it, right, Judy Wood, very quiet about... Okay, she's aware of fakery. She doesn't think there was any planes. So immediate implication is that all of the video showing planes crashing is fabricated. The problem is, though, she examines now, as has been gone through over in September Clues and other places, the problem is now she's examining the collapse sequence itself and the aftermath as if it's genuine, not recognizing her previous declaration or a sort of quiet declaration that, yeah, we were dealing with fake video. And of course, this was September Clues goes on to talk about the whole fucking thing being fake video. Do you know what I mean? So we can't trust any of the visuals. So to come to any conclusions based on the fabricated video itself is analysing cartoon physics, because anything can be made to happen. You know what I mean? So none of this is...
Of course, ever yeah.
Yeah, none of this
movie
is...
Movie physics.
Exactly. So Bob went and did the impossible and went from the 9/11 hoaxery fakeologist camp back to the Judy Wood camp, where everything was destroyed from via beams from space. Beams from space.
So, yeah. Wow, I didn't know that. Yeah, I sort of remember that. He was on the bad side. Yeah.
Yeah, I wrote a song about it. I took Lionel Richie's song. I think I played this before, maybe not directly to you, but on your channel here. But it was, right, you know, stuck on, I'm stuck on you. I got a feeling down deep in my soul that, yeah, I made a song, Stuck on Judy Wood. And, yeah, it's a parody.
Yeah, I remember that.
Yeah.
Good on you.
No, but you know what I mean? So automatically then, he's a character. So if he died, if he didn't die, sort of doesn't matter to me anymore, in a sense. I'd just rather remember him in the best way possible as an actor on the stage, just concept with a limitation, but just genuinely up to the point that his limitation is reached, delivering people or allowing people to get towards some sort of greater truth. But yeah, beyond that...
Or was he just spinning people into La La Land? Or was he just keeping people spinning? That's the question.
That's the thing. I think once you get beyond a certain point, though, you necessarily have to realize the limitations of all of the characters. If not, then you'll just keep yourself spinning. And of course, in this life, Tim, we can only speak for ourselves. I would say one can only speak for oneself. And oneself and one story is unique. I think actually, once again, it's by what people won't say. You learn more, you know what I mean? So Bob making this impossible transition is, in a sense, is telling me, as a fakeologist, if you want to put it like that, 9/11 hoaxer, and there's so much more to that. But yeah, he's telling me that, okay, this is my boundary. Or like Simon Shack, in a sense, rejecting any possible, expanded talk upon flat earth. With a true scientific fakeologist mind as well. Yeah, Simon was just telling me these are my limitations as well. But you know what I mean? That's what I take from all of this. I don't hate the characters themselves because they're actors upon the stage, but I appreciate how they've helped me come to, I guess, where I'm at now. You know what I'm saying?
Yes.
In a sense, that's where we were at the beginning, each and every one of us.
Do you follow Jaren's channel? Because he's the Globuster too.
No, I don't. He's another part of the crew. He's the potato crew. They have a across the pond. Remember, Tim, there's a very few countries that speak English. But English is the predominant language, right? So, yeah, they have Across the Pond covered with Nathan Oakley's show. And I'm sure you've heard of Nathan Oakley and Quantum Eraser.
Yeah, I've heard of him.
Yeah. So they have that covered. They're what I call the Potokli crew. So the Potato and the Oakley crew, the Potokli crew, they have their severe limitations. And what they do and what they deal with within their restrictions, they deal with very well. The spinning ball earth is busted a million ways to Sunday. And the ball earth itself actually is busted before the spinning ball earth is. Which is Simon Chak's.
What happened to the potato woman?
Well, she erased herself. She only upped and vanished like a fart in the wind. You can't find any hot potato interviews now or the shows which went on a weekly basis. She was just erased. She was erased. After the movie Beyond the Curve was made, she was just erased. She was gone. It was her time to depart. Because they had a film crew following them around all the time, Tim. And this is for Netflix, and millions of people saw this. So you're talking about TV fame. And don't forget this as well.
Did you watch the movie?
I didn't even watch it.
Oh.
I didn't even watch it.
Okay, I did. That was mainly Mark Sargent and Potato Woman, right?
Yeah. But all the others appeared in it as well, Bob. Journalism appeared in it. Lots of David Weiss and lots of others, as far as I know. I didn't even watch it. Beyond, at that stage, I sort of saw through it all. And I didn't care. And now, but here's the point. Why was Patricia deleted? Well, her job was done, in a sense. She encouraged flat earthers into this greater arena of reckoning. There is some great truth in it, right? But For the vast majority of people looking at the Netflix offering, they came away with a negative. It was, as far as I heard anyway, it was a sort of a piss take on flat earthers for the most part. Even though not quite, but you know what I mean. But yeah, once that was done then, once that whole broadcast was wrapped up, they found an excuse to delete her persona and delete the whole channel. But there's much more to that story as well, with the Antonio Subirats and the transgender suspicion. But that's like, man, this is fucking 7 years, Tim. 7 years I'd have to fill you in on, for goodness sake. But, yeah, Patricia exited stage left, but she is Miss Flat Earth, and she's a great clue giver, absolutely. And, you know, the only person, so just considering what I just said there, right, putting in that category of significance, the only person she named personally as a factor in her deleting her own persona off the internet and all her time was me. She named Pete Shea, Peter Sheehan, the Dodo, and she named a few other influences as well, but she didn't name
why you this. What did you do? Yeah. Why you?
Yeah, I was, yeah, once again, yeah, lots of things to say about that. But ultimately, I was in the Flat Earth arena in 2016-17. Everything was going great. We were all mavericks against the greater establishment. And suddenly then, this transgender controversy came up between Mrs. Flat Earth, which is Patricia, Miss Flat Earth, Patricia Steer, and the buyer for Mr. Flat Earth, which was Antonio Subirats. So Subirats, do you know Antonio Subirats? Have you heard of that name? Come on, Tim, you must have.
I've seen them, but I didn't really follow them. But I know they got together in some crazy wedding.
This is how it was all about divide and conquer. And I won't stress on this, right, because it's such a deeper story and there's so much more to it as well. But ultimately, Flat Earth, going on, great, building up a great steam, a great head of momentum, and suddenly then, Patricia Steer, Antonio Subirats were going to get together, a great romantic story. It turns out then that Antonio makes this scurrilous claim, seemingly, that Patricia is actually a transgender. So,
my God.
Yeah, well, I mean, you can imagine how it hit the community, but yeah, everything then developed from there. And my own point of view was okay, some fucker here is a desperate liar. It's either one or the other. They even lived together over in England. Someone is a desperate liar here. It's either Antonia or it's Patricia. And we need to fucking find out, you know, because, well, what else? You can't have any lies in this prevailing movement, in a sense.
So what did you conclude, Pete? Who's lying in your mind?
Both of them.
Okay.
Both of them. They're all actors. They're all actors, and it's scripted out from the start, but I've moved much further as well. I've moved much further to understand or to come to think in terms of why, anyway. Patricia Steer, right? A steer is a castrated bull calf, right? So into the name chosen itself is the accusation. You know what I mean? So
very good. Yeah.
And there's much more to it as well. Patricia had a boutique called "A Girl Is a Gun." A girl is a gun, right? Which is you know indicative of some sort. Yeah. If there's clues later on,
that's funny.
And there's lots of other things like that. So that's the point. As I started investigating, others started investigating as well. The more things lined up that Patricia was an actor. Was she a transgender or of some sort? It seemed that it might be very well the case. Antonio then had his own following. I mean, Antonio went on Pancho Peach Channel, another very prominent flat earther at the time, and he had his notepad out, Tim, and he was going into explicit detail about how he was an artist. He's dead now, apparently, but I don't believe that. But he exited stage left as well. But he was going into explicit artistic detail drawing a woman lying, lying on a bed in charcoal on a piece of paper going, well, this is how a woman's hip height differs from a male hip height. And he noticed that Patricia's hips weren't coming up to the same sort of level. And then he started talking about how they were involved in coitus. And, well, let me just say it like this. He didn't go as far as he expected. It was a sort of a dead end. So, yeah.
Wow.
Honestly, man.
That is just salacious.
You don't know who's telling the truth or who isn't. But in my own brain, I just know someone is a fucking liar here. So how are you going to find it out? The problem with PJ was, when I went on to shows like Globusters, and Antonia Subirats was even there, and Patricia was there, and everyone was in the audience, in the chat, no one saying anything. And I'm going to myself, what the fuck is going on? Surely something has to be settled here. Who's taking the piss? One of these people is a dastardly liar. And I wasn't saying it in that way, but that's just to, you know, that's just the truth of the matter. What's going on? Why is no one saying anything? This is where the constant divide and conquer, I realize now in hindsight, it's a constant divide and conquer, and the truth are walking on eggshells for fear of offending. But there's a much greater story as well, Tim, and ultimately, well, I'm not going to say where it ultimately led me, because again, this is over the course of 6 or 7 years, but these people are actors on the stage, and their whole script is all laid out before them. The names chosen, they're all perfectly qualified for the roles they take up, and everything associated with them is a clue towards the greater endeavor. Honestly, that's the way I think. They're it's like JFK, it's like 9/11. It doesn't matter. It's like Wayne Carver or Gene Rosen. Names chosen, the characters chosen to be put within the scenario is indicative of a greater script. You know, recognizing the fakery is one thing, but coming to appreciate it within the greater story, that's a different matter. And that's where, well, I guess the likes of Tim Osman, OZMA, and IPS comes into it. You know what I'm saying? So, yeah, it's so interesting. It's the greatest story ever.
Yeah, very good. I got about 5 more minutes, but yeah, that's very interesting. Yeah, I think you've told it before, but it's always scintillating. So now all these characters have exited stage left, except Mark Sargent. He just marches on.
Yeah, he's Mr. Flat Earth. Mark Sargent as well. This all goes back. Okay, see, you've only 5 minutes, but actually, the day being in at 4:22, Earth Day, I call it Dodo Day. Mark Sargent is a reference to, he was a prepper. So Mark Sargent Prepper is a reference to Sargent Pepper's Lonely Hearts Club Band by the Beatles. And when you look into that album, it's actually a walk through Alice in Wonderland. Here's the connection to the dodo. So a walk through, I mean, like a video game, and you just have someone walking you through it. So in other words, the songs are layered in order of the adventures through the book itself. But you find out that the author was Charles Dodgson. Here's the clue, Tim. Well, Charles Dodgson was said to have a stammer. So to all his friends, he was known as Charles Dodgson or Dodo. Dodo Dodgson. So that's the deeper sort of reckoning. That's the deeper layer of clues that Mark Sargent leads on to. Patricia Steer is still around at the moment as well. She's still doing well. I think she's back on YouTube. I haven't paid any attention. But Mark Sargent.
Oh, she is back.
Yeah.
Oh, she's back. Oh, I didn't know that.
Yeah. But I haven't paid any attention. But she's talking about different things, and I don't even care. I'm not even bothered. But Mark Sargent, remember this, Tim. You interviewed him. This is what. This is fucking historic. Historic. Mark Sargent, listen to his story. He was perfectly qualified as well. Perfectly qualified in terms of what he did. But anyway, cut it short. I know you're heading out of here, and I won't say on too much as well. But, he had a dream. Tim, I had a dream. He had a dream one night, and he was inspired by the clues. And it's like he was mesmerized. He got up out of bed, started writing, you know, blind writing. And before he knew it then, he had the 12 clues and the bones of them in his mind. And before you knew it then, he made it
out. After the break, Pete, after the break.
Yeah.
We interrupt our program to bring you this important message.
Hi, I'm Heretic from Toronto, and you are listening to Fakeologist Radio on fakeologist.com.
Well, thank you.
Yeah, nice one, Tim. I'll finish up by saying this. Such a greater conversation to be had about all of this. These are only very superficial layers, for me anyway. But, Tim, didn't he only make it on to every international television station of worth? You know, so the greater character is put in play. And he is Mr. Flat Earth for definite. And a lovely man. Mark is a great contributor, but he's a great clue giver. Number one clue giver. Mark Sargent and his clues. September clues. Clues forum. Yeah, for me, they're all in the same category. A little bit of a rhyme there at the end. But yeah, go ahead, Tim. Go ahead. I just wanted to check in on this day anyway, 422 Earth.
Oh, no, it's good that you come in. I like that you're doing the audios. It's great. I'm hoping someone else will listen and join in. If you type in at and everyone, then it'll ping everybody to come in. Otherwise, they don't know you're here. That's the old, there's no way of telling you're in here. So you got to type at and everyone, and then everyone will get a ping.
Okay, nice one. I'll bear that in mind for future reference. Will I do that in free-for-all chat or show related?
Doesn't matter.
Okay, nice one. I'll do that in future.
Yeah, just do that, because otherwise, unless they come by and see you, they don't really know you're here. There's no notification at all.
Okay, excellent. I'll remember that for future reference, and I'll leave you one. Are you looking at chat at the minute, Tim?
No, I'm driving right now.
Okay.
I'm looking at the road.
You can look at it later then. So the reference to 422 Earth Day and Dodo Day, why I call it Dodo Day. Very interesting story. I already told you about Lewis Carl, actually nicknamed Dodo. I think I might have been speaking to you before about if 9/11 was a movie. Simon Shack talks about the 102-minute movie presented to us as live, but pre-prepared. Well, yeah. every movie has a great soundtrack, and the soundtrack to 9/11 was here's the connection, Tim. You're gonna love this, man. If you don't remember it, I'm sure I told you before. But anyway, soundtrack to 9/11 was an album by Radiohead called Kid A, right? Kid A, which came out in 2000. Now here's the kicker: 10 songs. Song number 10 gives it away. Motion picture soundtrack, right? Now, here's the bigger kicker, which Pete Shea is the only one to make these connections, right? Lead singer of Radiohead from Oxford in England, which is actually, funny enough, the only, well, the first entire sort of Dodo skeleton piece together was put together in Oxford and put on display in Oxford University in England. But the band Radiohead come from Oxford. You'll never guess, the lead singer, first of all, is Thom Yorke. But you never guess his nickname, Tim.
No, Dodo?
That's it, bud. That's not me saying
that. Oh, yeah? Oh, I heard you say that. That's probably why I got it. I think you said it on another podcast.
Isn't that mad? That's what all I'm saying, though. So the deeper story here, which I guess, in a sense, it sort of transcends time. It sort of goes beyond time. It's a deeper story of everything, because this connects to Flat Earth and beyond, and also our own story of the vision. So a much deeper story. But yeah, okay, have a look at the... I posted earlier on as well, but have a look at the chat later on just to see at least why I might be in some way justified in calling this day Earth Day, Dodo Day. So here we go. Yeah, okay. You go ahead. You head away then, Tim. I'll do the same myself.
Well, thank you, Peter. Nice to talk to you again. We'll be in touch.
Nice one, and I'll remember that. So just add everyone for a ping, and
because
it's always great to converse and
conversation. Someone's got to start the call. Yes, nice someone has to start the call. It's always hard to get it started, but you're good at that. So get that party started.
Okay, Tim, take it easy. Until the next
cheers,
time.
Shout out to take Molly. Care.
Shout out to Molly.
Molly loves you. Baby. Yeah, she likes your stuff.
Okay.
All right.
Actually, Tim, let me sing a song.
Yeah.
Let me sing a song before it gets too late.
Go ahead. I'll listen in on the live stream because I got to step out.
Okay. Actually,
thank you, Pete.
Perfect. Yes. Thank you very much. Perfect. Perfect.
Good night. Thank
this
you.
Is actually the song I was talking about. So this is to all fakeologists. Recognizing that 9/11 was the greatest blockbuster of our time, the greatest blockbuster movie of our time, 102 minutes from after the second plane, after the first plane hit, just before the second building hit or fell, right? So if Kid A was the soundtrack, then this is the parting song from Kid A, which is called Motion Picture Soundtrack, right? Sung by the Dodo, Tom York, and well, I'm going to sing the omitted verse as well. And I think the reason they omitted this verse from the album because it's too obvious, it's telling us too much. But yeah, let me go for this. And okay, it's called Motion Picture Soundtrack, and I think it's probably one of the greatest songs ever.
That's all, folks.